What a great day that this has been. God has worked in hearts and lives, and I'm thankful to be part of a church that reaches out in its community in various ways, aren't you? And that's what we're here for, to be salt, to be light, and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, come right ahead, boys and girls. Some of you go, what are they doing here? Well, I wanted to take a little bit different approach tonight. And variety, I think, is a good thing for all of us. And tonight, I want to have these boys and girls right down front, and we're going to engage with them just a little bit high. I know that one there, in case you did not know. Now, boys and girls, I want you to sit up straight. I want you to look this way. And we're going to have a great time in here with the big adults tonight. And I think that maybe you can help us with this, because we're going to look at a guy tonight in the book of Jonah. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. And boys and girls, we're going to see here a guy that was running from God. And I believe that there are some great principles and truths here that we can find tonight. And this gentleman is one that some of us are familiar with, but I believe there's some great truths here tonight that can help us here today. And what a wonderful application that we can get here tonight. This guy by the name of Jonah, we find it here in verse number 1 of Jonah chapter 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So what took place here, very simply, is that Jonah was here one day, and he was God's prophet. He was kind of like a preacher. And the word of God, God spoke to this guy, Jonah. And he gave Jonah a calling. He said, "Jonah, I have something for you." And may I say, I am so thankful that God speaks to us, aren't you? I'm thankful that many years ago, as a 9-year-old boy, God spoke to my heart and told me that I was the preacher's son, but I was not his son. And on that day, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior at 9 years of age. But God called to this guy, Jonah. And this calling was a divine calling. It was one that it came from God Almighty. He said, "Jonah, I have something for you." And boys and girls, when God speaks to us, we ought to listen, shouldn't we? And here's the great thing. Why is it that we have a church that we can come to? Why is it that we're here? So that we can come to hear from the Word of God. And I hope that you come here ready to listen to what God has for us. You see, so many times we come with the ritualisticness of church, that we just come here to the sanctuary and we just come and we sit and we do our thing. But it ought to be that we come here, and I told our teenagers that I'm not too much about this word preaching a sermon. I think it's a wonderful term. It's very traditional. But I think that I prefer personally the term a message, because it's not just some oratory or speech. Boys and girls, God has a message. He has something for you. And mom and dad, He has something for us every time we come to the house of God. And as we get a text message, there's a personal delivery for you on that particular device, isn't there? As you get a phone call at your house, someone is calling because they want to deliver a message to you. Well, God delivered a message to Jonah on this particular day. And it was something specific for him. Psalm 119 verse 35 says this, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." And this message that he got was that he was supposed to go do something. But it was directed for a purpose. He said, "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go and do something." Now, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, when we come to church, when we come in our Sunday school class, we come in here with Pastor on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Thursday night, and all three are good for us, aren't they? Amen. But when we come here, there is a calling that's to direct us to do something with it. Here's the worst fact, is that when we come and we hear it, we go, "That's nice." But so many times we leave the instructions of the direction of the message sitting in the church house and we have no application for it. Boys and girls, when God tells us something, when He tells me, when He tells one of these adults or He tells you, He wants us to do something with it. Now, Brother Brett, you and I both have children here on this front row. When we tell our children to do something, we tell them because we expect them to do something about it, don't we? Immediately. Amen. We expect that when we say, hey, I want you to come here, we expect that, don't we, parents? Our Heavenly Father expects nothing less. He expects us that when He calls, He says, hey, I want you to do something with this. When was the last time that you did something with the message that God brought to you and said, here, I want you to do something with it? I wonder how many times we come and there's a message. Well, I get a lot of text messages. And sometimes I'll look at them and I'll go, I'll reply to that in just a second. I'm in the middle of something. Or sometimes my wife will call and I'm in the middle of a meeting and I'll tend to call her back. And sometimes I receive a message and I go, oh yeah, I need to do something about that. And then what happens is I forget about it because I didn't act on it immediately. And that gets me into trouble. You know, we come to the house of God and we come to church and God speaks to our heart and we go, yes, that's good. I need to do something about that and I will do something about that tomorrow. Or I'll do something about that next week. You see, we talk about this, that today is the day of salvation, and it certainly is. And we're real quick to say, if you're not saved, you need to accept Jesus Christ today. And I say to that, amen. Absolutely. But the same message that we say amen to for the unsaved is the same message that we ought to say amen to for ourselves. That today is the day of action. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when it seems like the finances can handle it. But say, okay, God, you've called me to do something and I'm going to do it today. When the Lord moves on our heart to share the gospel with someone, we ought to act on that immediately. And Jonah received this calling. But then I want you to see Jonah's response. Because here's what took place. God spoke. There's no doubt about that. And Jonah heard it. He heard what God said. But then he responded. Because you see, whether or not we act on it, we're responding to the message that we receive. And this guy, Jonah, when he, if you look there in the scriptures, you'll see in verse number 3, that his response, when God said, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. It was a really bad city. It was a place that he said, I don't want to do that, because he was probably quite scared that if he went there and gave some really bad news to the people at Nineveh, which, by the way, was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, if he were to go there, he didn't know what would happen. And then on the other side, he's certainly thinking, there's no way that they're going to heed this message. And so he's contemplating, well, why should I go? What's going to happen to me if I do follow through and obey God? And how many times we are concerned about what is going to happen if we follow through and obey God? For some teenagers this summer at camp, they wondered, if I follow through on this, what friends are going to make fun of me? Will I have any friends if I step forward and say, I'm going to live for God? For some of us at work, maybe some of you at the workplace, you say, I know I ought to take a stand for Jesus Christ. But what will the co-workers think of me? What will my boss have to say if I stand firm upon the Lord Jesus Christ and let it be known? And so Jonah is wondering what's going to happen. And so he decided, okay, God wants me to go over here to Tarshish, to Nineveh. But I'm going to go this way and I'm going to go as far as I can away from Nineveh. He said, where did he go? He went to a place called Tarshish. You see, he went down to a city called Joppa to go get on a boat to go approximately 2,500 miles away from where he was at. Go all the way across, boys and girls, you see that big ocean right there? All the way across there. To go from one side all the way to the other. To say, you know what? I want to get as far away as I can. I want to run from this call that God has placed here. And boys and girls, moms and dads, that was a very selfish response. And may I say that when we respond to the Lord Jesus and we say no, and we run the other direction, that's a selfish response. When the Holy Spirit prompts us, when God prompts us to give a tract to someone, or to invite someone to Truck Day coming up in 2 weeks, or to Roundup Sunday, or to just a general church service, or Friend Day, and we go, I don't know about this, that's a very selfish response. And we're very quick to condemn Jonah for his sinful response of rejection that was very selfish. But how many times are we guilty of the very same thing? You know, today I happen to study at home. A lot of times I don't do that, but it happened to be nap time, praise God. So I sat in the kitchen and the dining room table there, and I was studying and praying and seeking guidance from the Lord. And I told the kids, I said, all right, time for bed. We got them in bed, and I went to go study. Well, it wasn't too long after I began to hear some rah, rah. And I thought, I wonder what this sound is. And so I proceeded to walk towards the bedrooms, and I saw Ethan's bedroom door was open all the way. And I saw that the curtain had been pulled and light was coming in the room. And what did I find? Ethan was not in bed asleep or even on his bed. The call of the dinosaurs overcame him. And so what did you do, Ethan? You went and you were playing with the dinosaurs in the floor. So Daddy came in and said, Ethan, what did we say? It's time for bed? Yes, sir. I said, all right. I said, get in bed, and this is the only time I'm going to tell you. Okay. All right, yes, sir. Well, a few minutes later, I hear a similar sound. And I walk in, same story, Brett. And so upon my reentry of the room this time, this look on his face went, uh-oh, Charlie. And so we had a little discussion, Brother Herb, about this. Discussion. All right. It's live stream. And so we're there, and we talk about this in a great love of reminding, in a way, that it's important to obey right away and all the way. And then I come in again later. Same situation. I'm going, what is going on here? Well, we dealt with that again too. But what took place was I gave him something to do. And his response was, okay. And then he went and did exactly the opposite of what he said he'd do to go for what he wanted to do. And this guy, Jonah, was very selfish. And it was very sinful. And as you sit there and you go, man, yeah, what in the world? That 4-year-old boy, he needs something. Well, he gets it honest. When I was about 5 years old, there was a guy that was one of the older gentlemen in our church at that time. And this guy, Rob, we'd kind of cut up back and forth some. And so Rob gave me a little hard time one night as he was headed into orchestra practice one weekend, weekday night. And I thought, I'm going to show you. So I went through the church. I knew it was like second home for me, okay? And I went and found some rope. And I think I watched too much MacGyver or something. I don't know. But I began weaving it through the chrome wheels and through the axle on the driver's side front wheel, and then I wove it up through the grill of the front of the vehicle, and then over to the other side, and some of you going, oh no, and you see what's coming. And so I wove it into the other axle on the left side, and then I waited. Well, orchestra practice finished,
and I got a great view. It was dark outside. Woo-hoo, this is going to be good. He got in his van, and he parked right in front of the glass door so I could watch. And he started backing up, and out came sparks shooting on both sides. It looked like some special fireworks show at Universal Studios or something. And sparks from them. I was like, yeah, that is awesome. And my eyes got real big. And then a thought occurred to me, Brielle. Oh, no. I'm in big trouble. And I went and I hid. Boy, it was not a good night. But I'm going to tell you, our response to what God tells us, when we respond and we say no, for whatever reason, we're real good at coming up with excuses, aren't we, adults? Well, I would, but if my situation weren't like this, then I would. What excuse do we put in place there for not following God? Boys and girls, when mommies and daddies tell us to do something, we should obey, shouldn't we? Right? That's the right thing to do. And we should obey God too. And so his response is he said no, he jumped on a boat. And he got there at Joppa and was headed to Tarshish all the way across the big Mediterranean Sea. And he was so sure that he was going to be okay that he got in the bottom of the ship and he went to sleep. Well, then all of a sudden he got woken up by the reality of his consequence. He woke up because there was a big storm that came up over top of the Mediterranean Sea, the sea there. And, you know, as we read the tempest, the word tempest, we get this sense that I think we could kind of relate a little bit to like a little bit of a hurricane here. A great wind. And it says in the Bible in Jonah chapter 1 that these guys thought for sure that the boat was just going to be ripped apart. And they're freaking out. Oh no, what are we going to do? They start taking all the stuff that's on the boat and throwing it out to try to make the boat lighter. Oh no, we're going to die. Throw everything, the captain says. Then they throw everything out of the boat and they look around and they go, we're still going to die. So what do? They get something and they begin to cast some lots. And we say, well, what are lots? Well, as best as we can understand historically, it'd be kind of like some little stones, little rocks that are smooth, have some marks on them. Or some sticks, and they'd kind of throw them around. For those of us that understand this, it may be a little bit like rolling some dice or flipping a coin. And so they would do that just to kind of see who they thought maybe was at fault for this, to get a guess. Well, the lots, as the Bible tells us, landed and pointed towards Jonah. And they said, what is the problem? It says it's your fault, Jonah. And then Jonah says, yes. See, I'm a Hebrew. And the God, Jehovah, I said no. And I ran from what he wanted me to do. They said, this is a big problem. Because, see, we're about to die. Well, they have a discussion and then Jonah says, all right, the only way for you guys to live, because it's not your sin, but it's my sin. And may I say, folks, it's an important thing when we can look and not point fingers at everybody else's sin, but look at ourselves and examine ourselves. You know, I have children. I have two of them, one on the way, but little boys and girls, sisters and brothers, they love to be able to point out what somebody else does wrong, don't they? When sometimes I'll ask Ethan, I'll go, Ethan, why did you do this? And you know what his response says? Well, Brielle, and then he goes on and finishes the rest of it. You know, I believe we can learn so many lessons from children, and God teaches me through my children. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt and say, why did you? And I say, well, but someone, and we begin to pass the buck and point at someone else. When it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so the consequence that he had
was quite intense. You say, what happened?
Well, here's the quick end of what took place. Boys and girls, this is amazing. Because he said, it's my fault. Toss me overboard.
And they said, what?
Throw you overboard?
Yes, throw me off the ship and maybe you'll be saved and live.
I said, okay.
So they took Jonah and they tossed him over the boat. And he was out in the water, and the Bible tells us that all of a sudden, everything that was about to break their ship apart, ceased, and it stopped. And then the Bible tells us that God had prepared a big fish, a giant fish. And this fish came along and boom, swallowed Jonah whole. Now, I don't know, I highly doubt anybody in here has been swallowed by an animal. If we had, let's talk afterwards, that'd be great. Maybe you can give a better account of this here. But as they say, there's a lot of critics of the Bible that say, that's some fairy tale once upon a time. That didn't happen. There's no possible way. Well, there are historical accounts of people, one man in particular I can think of, who was swallowed by an animal. And then he came out a couple days later, and children are here, so I won't describe it, but it's a historical fact. And he was swallowed in there, and I can't imagine what it must have been like to be contorted and inside the stomach of this great fish. Think for just a second. Everything else that it had swallowed, all of the juices and things inside that helped to digest everything. So you're going, don't worry, we'll leave it as that. But you think about what really took place, because sometimes we talk about the account in the story and we just go, oh yeah, he was swallowed by a great fish and then this and that. And we don't really think about it. I just want you to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. That you're in the water and then all of a sudden, boom, swallows you whole. And you're inside there, you're squished, it's dark, it stinks, and there's constant fluid all over you. Not a good place to be, boys and girls. Oh, he says, oh, that's terrible. And so he's in there, and this is an intense consequence. You see, here's the principle. We can choose to obey or reject the calling of God, but we don't choose the consequence. Amen. And may I say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, we can say, yeah, that's good for somebody else. Sharing Christ with someone else or following with living a life that's holy is maybe good, but I just can't right now. Or whatever it may be, you fill in the blank. And we say, yes, I should, I want to, but God, not right now. I have to wonder how many people have had the call of God on their life to preach the gospel, to go to a foreign land. And there's been a young person that has said, yes, I want to follow God, but there's been a parent who has said, no, they're mine. I can't tell you how many parents I've talked with and in my heart said, oh no, I can't tell you how thankful I am I had parents, though they were not perfect. I'm not perfect, that's for sure. But loved God enough and understood that I was on loan to them and that I belonged to God. I'm so thankful for that, that I saw that exhibited and lived out in front of me. And we say, God, I will later. Or we say, there's no way, God, nope. Not for me. Not right now. I don't want the possible consequences of following through in this area in which you put in front of me. And we say, okay, God, no. That's our ability. That's our free will. We can choose to do that. But remind yourself, we don't choose the consequences. And the consequence here for Jonah was quite intense. Now back to the account where I messed up that guy's band just a little bit. When I went running and I said, oh no, I went hiding inside the church. It was a fairly large church. It was an old warehouse converted into some other things. And so I was in a really good hiding place.
And then all of a sudden, I heard my father's deep voice.
Timothy!
And it sounded like the voice of God. Thunder and lightning. And I recall the statement, if I have to come find you, it's going to be worse. And I believed him. And boy, I tell you what, that was not good. I had the choice whether to do that thing to that man's van or not. But the consequences, I did not have any say in. And I have to wonder how many things in our lives God just says, hey, I love you enough to correct you. You see, we have a God that loves us, a heavenly Father that loves us enough to not let us stay the way we are. One that will not allow us to go every way that we please, not because He's a dictator, but because He's the heavenly Father of love. But I want you to see, boys and girls, when Jonah was in this great fish, he was in there, the Bible tells us he was in there for 3 days and three nights at the end of chapter 1. And we have Jonah's call, Jonah's response, Jonah's consequences, but then last we see Jonah's repentance. And that's a wonderful thing. Because Jonah's inside this fish for 3 days and three nights. And I don't know at what point in the 3 days and the three nights that he repented. And we have listed his prayer and God's answer here in chapter 2. But he prayed and God heard his prayer because he had a heart of repentance. You see, his repentance was passionate. Boy, it wasn't just, I'm sorry. How many times have you had a child you say, tell them you're sorry? I'm sorry. I wonder how many times we come before God and we say, yeah, God, I'm sorry I sinned in this area again. God, I'm sorry that I was involved in that again. When was the last time we came with a real heart of repentance? A passionate repentance before God. A understanding of the holiness of God. You say holiness. Holiness and sin are complete opposites. God is a holy God, righteous and just. And we like to live so much in the gray area of the middle, don't we? But God says, I am holy. He says, I want you to come before me with a heart of repentance. This guy, Jonah, he came and he said, God, I have sinned. I have done wrong. Boy, he was prayerful. A guy by the name of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, said, oh my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies, O Lord. O Lord, forgive, O Lord. I need help with a couple guys real quick. Come here for a second. Can you two guys come here? Help me for a second. So this guy, Jonah, he was called. Who called and said something to Jonah? God. So here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to come up here and help me for a second. Right on up here. Everybody's looking at you. Isn't that awesome? How many times you get to come up here? This is great. Come here for a second. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. We look at this guy, Jonah. And we go, whoa, what a great account where he turned from God. He rejected the call of God. And then he came back. But I want you to understand something. When he was in that boat, when he was fleeing from God on what God had called him to do, it affected those that were in the boat with him. And may I say, that when we reject the call of God, it affects those that are in the boat with us. We talk to teenagers about friends and we say, no one's an island to themselves. But moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, Sunday school teachers, who is in the boat with you that'll be affected by our sin? You remember a guy by the name of Achan? He kept something in his tent and 35 men died because of it. You know, we're real quick to point out the faults in someone else. But let's turn the searchlight on inside and say, what have I said no to the call of God in my heart? What has God been telling me to remove that I've said no? What has God been telling me to add that I've said no? So, boys, I want you to help me for a second. Let's get the story of this guy, Jonah, real quick, okay? And maybe these boys and girls down here can help us get it too, all right? So, Jonah had a call. Can you do that with me? Jonah had a
call.
And then Jonah had a what? Jonah had a response. And his response was what? No. So he got a call, his response was no. And when he said no, there was a consequence. But when the consequence came, I'm thankful that he repented back to God. And when he prayed and he said, God, I'm sorry, God heard him. You know, I'm thankful that God loves you and he loves me. And that when we mess up, he's willing to forgive us. Aren't you glad of that? Moms, dads, I'm so thankful that God is a God that loves us and is willing to forgive, aren't you?
Amen.
He's a God of love. He's just and holy, but he's loving. And you say, how do we know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, as we heard so wonderfully this morning. Thank you, boys, so much. High five. You guys are great helpers. Here, you can come back down. So I leave you with this. Who's in the boat that'll be affected by your decision? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a church that we can come to, that loves you, that wants to serve you, gives opportunities of service, where the preaching of the Word of God from our pastor points us to Christ. I thank you for the victories that we saw today, those that were passed from death unto life. What a wonderful thing this is. But God, I can't help but think that for us, as your children, that maybe we're holding back, maybe we're pushing away something that you've placed into our hearts, that you've been speaking to us, maybe time and time again, and we're saying no. Oh Lord, may we be a submissive, may we be an obedient church by your grace. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you tonight, we look at a guy named Jonah and we go, wow, I can't believe he did not follow the call of God. But maybe tonight you're sitting there and you go, God's met me right where I'm at tonight. As the piano begins to softly play, when we stand in just a moment, you know, there's something about an external movement that solidifies an internal movement of the Spirit of God in our hearts. And so when we stand in just a moment, this front is a wonderful place to come and to bow the knee and say, God, I submit. I bend and I bow myself before you, my King. My Father, I want to obey whatever it is
whatever you want me to remove, whatever you want me to add, wherever you want me to go, I will do it. I am willing. I don't know how, and I may not even understand why. But God, you are my God, and there is none else. So as we stand, let's sing the song, I Surrender All. Timeless, it's trustworthy. What a wonderful thing. And I thank you for the families represented, the young people represented here tonight that are being taught and trained in the Word of God and pointed to the Savior. I thank you for all that play a part in these lives. May we go forth today, tonight, but may we be obedient.